Hey y'all, in this episode we mention sexual assault, abuse on women and children, and lastly, cult-like behaviors. Please be advised. Finding your own path when we live in a world filled with many people wanting to dictate our own destiny is hard to tread through, especially when connecting your physical being with your spiritual being. In fact, many of us may have had traumas that influence the way we believe, the paths we walk, and so many other factors. And my dear friend and host of My Sister's Keeper radio show and entrepreneur, Tafari Yasharal, is here to discuss that not-so-pretty side of healing and becoming into our own spiritual being. We begin how social media and certain organizations influence our way of thinking when it comes to faith. Just taking a lens on how basically the impact of social media and just media in general has made it, you know, to capitalize off of this trauma through faith, but also share our own experiences. And yeah, one of the things that I have noticed is really through Mormonism. And I know your background is not in Mormonism, but one of the things that media has picked up on, especially through Netflix's documentaries with LDS in the LDS, which stands for, FLDS stands for Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, and it's like a branch off of Mormons. Okay. And then Latter-day Saints is like, are Mormons. They're like, the nickname is Mormons. And, you know, modernizing this capitalization of it all, you know, we know them as Mormons, they take the name as well. And, you know, it has become a huge thing. We have seen it on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, where some of the cast members have broken out of Mormonism because they don't stand with their beliefs and whatnot. And they talk about how they got through that and how traumatizing it was for them. And also with the Netflix documentaries is very, very more traumatic. And I would just like to start off with sharing a little bit about that information and then diving into, you know, our own traumas through faith and what we realize, because it's not just Mormonism, you know, it's people go through this and it's a part of this, their journey, whether it's a religious faith journey or a spiritual journey. So have you ever heard of FLDS or Warren Jeffs at first?
You know, I have not actually. Please enlighten me, because I can probably give you some insight if you give me a little bit more. Maybe I have and just didn't really know about it.
Mm-hmm. So this was going on back in 2010, 2011, and it's a documentary now on Netflix called Pray and Obey, and it just follows the uprising and downfall of Warren Jeffs, which is FLDS prophet. And according to a few sources, this FLDS is still active, and he's still the prophet, even though he's currently behind bars. And the reason why I'm mentioning he's behind bars is simply because of the actions he have done to use religious beliefs for his own power and greed.
I'm familiar. You just sparked my memory, honey. The cult. Okay. So he had a million wives and a million kids. Okay.
So
absolutely. I'm on point with you. I'm right here with you.
So, you know, he really used like his platform to get what he wanted. You know, he had over 70 wives. I think the exact number was 74 or 78. And he approved of underage marriages. He raped women as well. And he approved abusive relationships, abused his own power to like basically exploit young women and to separate young women, like we're talking about children at this point, from their parents. And it's a 4-episode series on Netflix, and I'm not here to promote Netflix, but this is to get to the point of the topic, is that, you know, people like him, when we talk about religious faith and spirituality, people always say like there's a lot of bad people in religious faith and spirituality. So given a little background about FLDS, and I will move on to LDS at a later point in this interview. How do you after hearing the story, remembering the story, and like, yeah. You know, how this all came to be and how it has been a media sensation. And, you know, of course, this is branching off of Mormonism and polygamy and that whole thing. How do you feel that with this exploitation of religious faith and spirituality that has come to be, how do you feel that has traumatized people to even be interested into exploring their own?
Oh, goodness. Well, first, I want to say, Kiari, thank you so much for having me. This is a spiritual moment, because just recently this past week, there has been some very troubling and traumatic situations based around this absolute subject prior to me even knowing this was going to be our topic, which means that the spirit, I believe wholeheartedly in the spirit, when it brings up these things, that means that it's alive. It's something that we need to discuss. And it's something, it's a message that needs to be heard to someone out there. So this is something for someone, including us, but it's somebody. All right. So now, as it relates to, so I know the story, you know, and I know many other stories just like his. So I'm not even going to go deep into him, because before I can go into him, I got to go back to King. I got to go back to Solomon, King Solomon, you know, because he was the originator of the polygamous multi-wife, you know, situation. And we have to look at that in the word, because it is in the word. And again, for those that are believers, because, you know, this platform could be for anyone of any spiritual walk. So I just want to point out that this is just according to those that do believe in the Bible, that believe in the word, that follow it. And this is what this gentleman was using. And, you know, King Solomon being a very prominent figure in history, according to the word, it just makes sense to relate the stories. With that being said, you know, here it is, a man, the third king of Israel. You know, he had over about 700 wives, you know, I mean, there's like some concubines and this and that. And, you know, we often say, well, you know, because the thing about it is, women in today's society, whether they're Eastern culture or Western, how do we feel about polygamy? You know, how do we fit into that? What do we even know about it? I do think that Western culture, we're not well versed on it. It's absolutely unnatural for us, because we just haven't seen it. I believe Eastern culture, it has a little bit more familiarity. It is still bringing trauma, but it's more accepted because it's more cultural. It's more widely accepted. It's been for many years. So I don't think that that's a thing that's just, you know, just came out of nowhere. It's definitely been around for the beginning of time. But the real question is why? Why is this something? Why is this a thing? Why do men want to perpetuate the polygamy? And then what reason, what benefit is it? So let's go back to our understanding of it. It can be very uncomfortable, especially for someone new in a belief. It has been permissible in the word. We've seen our nation, you know, our bloodline being regenerated and transformed, and to continue population, it was necessary. It didn't say it was a commandment, but it was allowed. And so with the Most High, you know, he just said, hey, listen, don't multiply wives unto yourself, which means that you don't want to be excessive. So when you have doing things in excess, that does bring in those other spirits of greed, of, like you said, the trauma, because people do have faith in the Most High, and we do want to be obedient, right? And in any of our religions, any of our spiritual beliefs, we want to be obedient and make sure that we're keeping our higher power happy by not going against it. So with that being said, what is the true core reasoning for these individuals? That's the thought. Now, we know back with King Solomon, there was a lot of strife that came along with having that many wives. But then we're looking at this new age here in the Western culture, like you said, the reality show, that situation. And we see a man who's using the same word. He's using the same principles. However, there was something wrong. Something wrong happened. People were hurt. People were traumatized. Things didn't happen properly. So the real question is, why and what is your purpose for polygamy? And if you are perpetuating it according to the what the Most High had in store for us, or your higher power of said, you know, your spiritual beliefs, What is the absolution? Where are we trying to go with this? Because oftentimes we're just being fleshly. And I think that that's what this all kind of boiled down to, was a fleshly control move versus the spiritual. What do you think, Kiari?
I personally believe that it was for his own personal interests, mm-hmm. and that it was for him to feel empowered, because even if you look at the documentary, it told the story of how he wanted to become that powerful person, like how he manipulated from the get-go of the former prophet before he passed away, and how he was buddy-buddy with him and, you know, taking all the routes. And then he got a little bit of control because he was like the principal at the school. And then, you know, that gave him more power to be able to inflict his ideas. And when he took over, he really just changed the rules of the FLDS community. And it became different from what it is now. And all of the people who were born into Warren Jeffs' ideology didn't know mm-hmm. what it was like before. And the people who were before Warren Jeffs, that was in the under the leadership of the old prophet before he passed away, mm-hmm. they actually were more happy because they truly believe in that old prophet, but they saw through Warren Jeffs, or they felt like Warren Jeffs was just not it, was not it at all. And mm-hmm. I personally believe when you are seen as a spiritual leader or a spiritual guider, or you're a leader in religious faith, whether it's you being a preacher, a priest, or a prophet, as it is into FLDS, you have this sort of power with people, and you can make them believe or think in a way that you want them to, because you're giving them that word. And everyone wants to hear that word of God, or praise God, or not just God, but whatever you believe in that sense of higher power. And when you give that control to a human being on earth, it definitely can be manipulated into their own personal interests and own personal greed and gratification, because you have to look at this from a psychologically point of view. How were they as a child? You know, were they like the sociable child? Were they picked mm-hmm. on? And then like maybe that can give you more insight of why they have turned this so beautiful thing of spirituality, and it's exploring their people's spirituality, to a control, dominating, basically dictatorship over you. And it's not just over, you know, you as a human being, it's over your mind, it's over your physical well-being, emotional well-being, and in this case, even sexually. And most of the time it is men. And it's men in these positions who do this. You see women being more submissive. And is it because that through religious practices, women must be submissive to men? You know, is that the reason? If you want to take it back to the Bible, you know, how Eve was made, it was from Adam's like rib cage and like put it together to Eve. So, you know, if you look at that, it's like, a man can't be without a woman, and a woman can't be without a man, still feels the power to dominate or be in control. And it's like, that is how society is today. So it's a bigger issue than just, it's even outside of spirituality. It's a bigger issue. It's like, is men control freaks? And I'm not saying all men are like this. I'm just saying for the ones who abuse their power, is it
the ones that are perpetuating that theory? Absolutely. You know, here's where I see sometimes we have to be, see, sometimes we go against what it is our very belief system is. And a lot of men who call themselves priests, they skip over 1 Timothy 3:2, which speaks on a man, a priest, being a husband of one wife. And so why did he say that? You know, it wasn't because he wanted to punish the priests. He didn't want to punish them. He, you know, especially if he allowed, you know, other men in the faith to have multiple wives. Again, allowing and commanding are two different things, and we'll go into that. But when you have direct commands, like when the thus says Yah, when Yah does say something, you know, why is it that we have to find those loopholes in between? Those are all telltale signs of an agenda. Because a priest to me, and I think that it goes for anyone, is someone that is a figure, leadership figure. And so while I'm a sheep and you're my shepherd, And I am learning. I have to, you have to be careful of the fragileness of individuals and how they can perceive, misperceive something. So if I am in a you know, said church or whatever my spiritual practice is, and I'm congregating with others, and I have this minister or this priest or, you know, this go-to person, and they have 10 wives sitting up on stage, you know, with them. And these 10 wives tend to, you know, ever so often have, you know, situations and dramas. Again, it's replaying in front of me. It's why I'm learning how to be a woman based on what I'm seeing and to not cause confusion. The Most I said, we don't even want you to even portray haughtiness. We don't want you to even portray, you know, adding on to wives, because it can cause confusion in the congregation. So he made it very clear, and thus says Yah, that even a priest should be a husband of one wife. Now, here's my other thing. Most men, you know, that are in this walk, they feel as though they're teachers and or pastors and or priests. So if that is your absolute role that you're taking on, you decided not to be the guy in the pews, or maybe a King Solomon who decided to be big, like, you know, today's modern kings, which I would say someone like who has a lot of money and power, like Donald Trump or Buffett, Warren Buffett, or someone like, what's his name? Bill Gates. You know, these are, and again, I'm just using names of people who have money, because that's all it ever really, because they're kings of, I guess, queen, let's go to the queendom. Let's go to King Charles or, you know, someone. But the reality is that you have to be in a certain position. It has to make more sense. When we're talking about polygamy, we're talking about nation building. We're talking about a higher level of life. We're talking about folks that are creating economies and are holding down cities, villages, states, continents. It's completely different than your guy around the corner, you know, that decides he wants to bring in five women into his home. So if we can differentiate and understand the reasoning and also understand why the Most High said, or, you know, again, I'm not just going by, because folks can believe what they want to believe, but according to the word, it does state that. And I think that's where this guy was actually basing, he's twisting it, but he did base his belief system off of that very theory, which contradicts itself. It contradicts it completely.
I absolutely agree. And especially now with the impact of social media or just digital access in general, you see it being amplified by a million, because now people are looking on this and be like, how can ever someone be sucked into this? Or how can people fall into this? And it's like, if you were born into it, you simply don't know what else is out there. You simply don't even know if you could explore that. And it's not an option to leave outside of that if you were born into it. And even if you were married into it, you know, they have full rights to believe in something that's not, they have outgrown, or that doesn't fit with their morals of what they've seen behind the scenes. And people who have left the FLDS, that's exactly what they were saying. It's like, I have outgrown it, or I didn't agree with Warren Jeffs, and this is why I left. But you still have people today that still believes in Warren Jeffs because of his manipulation and tactics. It was very, like, he was a speaker, you know, he did speeches and like got people riled up and excited or fearful as well. And quoted words from the Bible that excuse him for him sexually assaulting children, young girls, and that I was saying like 12, 13, 15, or allowing other men in the congregation of FLDS to do the same. And one person married their cousin while they were still a teenager, and the cousin was only 19 years old, and how that cousin raped her. And it's absolutely insane to us on the outside, because it's like, how can you just stand there and let that allow it to be? But these women, these families who have been born into this religious group,
they don't know anything different.
That's what they know, that's what they grew up on. So we can't penalize them and say that they should know better. No, like, this is a traumatic event, and sometimes people don't even know that they're going through a traumatizing time until it becomes a big deal. And even times when you're faced with trauma, some people are not strong enough to face it because it would break them. And then if they admit it to the Sims, that would destroy them. And that is the whole point about this section, is that how trauma can really influence your decisions of staying or going. And that's why spiritual journeys and religious faith journeys are bound. Like, you're bound by it by some way, or you're being pulled by it some way. And when I say bound, it can mean anything. It could mean that you're exploring. It can mean whether you're tied down or someone's holding you back, or you're stuck because you just don't know. And that's why it's so traumatizing with some people, because if they face the truth that this guy actually did wrong, or this has harmed them in any way, they may not know what to do. They don't even know what's life like outside of this organization, because it's so close-knit. Like, everything is like, they have to dress a certain way. They have to greet men a certain way. They have to play the roles. And then when you leave that role that you know into something new, it is absolutely scary. And that also the traumatic part of it, is that it's scary, it's unknown. And so when you have these people that doesn't understand that, like, it's a whole process and it's more to explore, it is going to be harder to reach them. And
that's right.
And the thing is, like, you can't convince anyone to take on this spiritual journey or this religious faith or this belief, because it's up to that individual person and what they think is best for them. Because sometimes when you're in tough situation, it is traumatizing, because you
That's right. You know, you touched on a lot there, and you know, the trauma. First, we got to know what trauma is. See, sometimes we go through things and we don't even know what we're going through. Sometimes people tell us things and we've never seen it for ourselves. We don't do our own research. So what we often do is that we are programmed, we're traumatized because we have faith in something that we are told and taught. And then we don't realize that we don't even know it firsthand ourselves. How can we really encompass and embody a belief system without having the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding our own selves? So if this, you know, and again, just using this as an example, because again, this is a more of a faith-based scenario. Let's talk about what faith is. See, faith is the belief. It's firm persuasion on something. It's assurance. It's firm conviction. It's faithfulness. So what faith in the Most High is making a practical commitment to something, the kind that involves the trust of, you know, our higher power, or trusting in a higher power, or trusting in a person, right? So now we got to look at that, because now we're replacing the Most High, which is God, with a being of someone that portrayed themselves to be a higher power, right? Now, trauma, okay, let's look at the definition of trauma. It's an emotional response to a terrible event, like, say, maybe an accident, rape, or a natural disaster. It could be a shock and denial afterward. Longer-term reactions could be unpredictable emotions, flashbacks, strained relationships, misunderstandings, even physical symptoms like headache, nausea, anxiety, and fear, procrastination, the whole nine. So now that we know our faith and what we decide to follow, to believe, depending on what that is, can ignite those other feelings in our lives. And so my next thing to the people are, you know, here's where we have to have self-accountability. Once I know better, I do better. Now, unfortunately for these individuals who were born into such a well thought out, you know, because again, they were born into this. They didn't know anything different. It didn't seem like it was anything wrong. It didn't seem like there was anything bad. But at some point in their life, they've had a spiritual awakening, or something contradicted something inside their understanding. The matrix, they say, maybe the rose-colored tint went away for a few minutes and they was like, wait a minute, something ain't right here. Now, that's your responsibility to go back and to understand what it is your faith that you're believing in. Because do you need to know who your God is? So if you don't know anything about your God, then you have just 90% lost, because you're basically following whatever someone has given you, whatever, you know, the society has given. And not everybody in their lifetime is going to have that awakening. So again, this is something that, you know, it might have a bittersweet ending, because a lot of people who are traumatized in faith are never going to find out anything different. They don't have the courage. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have the individual, like the, you know, again, going back to courage, because even if you were to go and study for yourself and get the right understanding of the word, you would know that these devices were meant to put you down or to not keep, you know, not give you that faith or to keep you from having the spiritual bliss that you're desiring. What is your purpose? You know, as a woman, you're being raised in this situation and then you're a woman. But again, you know, not even just digging into that, just overall with the religious and political implementations, because religion and politics are kind of like hand in hand these days. We're talking about the Roman Catholic Church. We're talking about the mega churches in America. I mean, we can go around the world and talk about even capitalism being involved in religion to really make us feel like, you know, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're looking for monetary gain. We're looking for justifications and power. We want to be some sort of worthy to be praised. We want to be ahead of our peers. You know, we want to have nice things, right? We want blessings. We tithe. We do all these things to appease to this quote unquote God that we don't even know. We haven't visited him. We have not studied him well enough, but we've allowed someone else to be the voice for our belief system and then lead us into their agenda. So when we stop learning, that's when we start to experience the trauma, because we're not able to find that special personal connection that really makes sense to the person, to the reader, to the believer, that will embody their peace. You know what I mean? If we're always doing things through someone else, chances are we're doing it through their agenda as well. And that's something a lot of people don't discuss.
I absolutely agree with you on that. And I just, going into that of like being in someone else's agenda, this is a perfect time to move into the Latter-day Saints and the other Netflix documentary called The Sins of Our Mother. Now, this is about, have you seen it?
I've seen the trailer. Sister Tafari, got to get her Netflix up.
Yes. So this is about Lori Vallow, and how she used her belief so much to basically commit murder of her two kids, which was a daughter, she was 16, and her son, and I believe he was under the age of 10. And she also like manipulated and lied so much to this like documentary series, and how she basically became so obsessed with her belief in LDS that it really inflicted her own agenda. She like said that she was the one who was speaking to the higher power. She was the one who had like the sense and the power. And she went through these trials and tribulations. And even through the story, you can see that she was on her own spiritual journey, whether you want to agree with that or not, that's up to everyone's own discretion. But her own spiritual journey, she was going through traumatic events as well. She was losing herself. Then she thought she found herself. And then the route of where she is now, she's ends up in prison until this day. She still doesn't think she'd done anything wrong. She still doesn't think that killing all the people around in her circle, because she called them zombies and they were like taking over them. The zombies were demonic.
Get rid of them. And get thee behind us, Satan. People
around them. Like, she even like manipulated like family members to do the work for her and said this is like in course with LDS. And it really, again, if you really just study Lori, it's like she went through her own traumatic experience, but she also used her personality, her persuasion to fit her own agenda. And again, this is one of the things that you see on Netflix series or documentary series, and it makes people question, is it even worth believing? Is it even worth going into that? Because someone can lead me astray. And I just want to ask, how can a person not be led astray by being involved in someone's own agenda? Can they avoid it through their religious faith or spiritual journey?
Yes, they can. You know, it's all about worshiping the spirit and the truth. And when we have these quote unquote weird moments and weird characters, that's a sign itself. The Most High is not the author of confusion. When we dig into his word and when we start to understand and do our own studies, we are able to at least come up with a sound, basic understanding of of what we're, you know, essentially following. So, for example, with this woman, you know, how does her walk reflect the doctrine that she speaks of? Is she speaking of God? Is she speaking of Christ? Is she speaking of, you know, these are things to better betterment of man, you know, because, hey, listen, you know, I think this person is wicked. This is a wicked practice. And so I'm going to shun this completely. You know, how justified is she in that? Well, let's go back to whatever it is that she studied. Is it the word? Is it the Bible? Is it a book? Is it the Book of Mormons? Is it a book of this? Whatever it is that you're studying. What does this say about that particular behavior? What does it say about that particular God? What has happened in the past in history? Let's look at examples of this same behavior and how did the outcome, how did it control or how did it affect people? What was the outcome in the past? We need to have witnesses. We need to have the understanding of what it is that we're being taught. And then we need to have two witnesses, something possibly from the past and maybe something from present or looking into the future, because we, and then you have to use common sense, which I think a lot of times people are afraid to bring into a situation because they don't want to lean on their own understanding. It says, don't lean on our understanding, but the Holy Spirit is within us. And, you know, the truth can be within us if we ask that faith in good, that faith in what feels right, that trauma, that anxiety, that red alert that goes off into you. Those are things, those are telltale signs that there could be something off, something wrong, something worth researching and doing more on. And then sometimes we need to just wait. When we jump into things with people and beliefs, we need to try them to be true, prove them. I often tell people, even in relationships, you should be with someone for seasons, you know, so that you can see them in all the seasons. And we're not talking about spring, winter, summer, and fall. I'm saying when people have money, when people don't, when people are happy, when people are sad, when people are scared, when people are angry, you will see them in all of their faces, their character, and how they deal, especially when they say they have a strong belief system. You know, why is it that you've gotten yourself in, you know, in trouble? And then here's the other part. When people die, you know, that's a telltale sign. Something's not right. We shouldn't have to end life. You are not the author of life. It says it in the commandments. If again, that's your belief, that not to kill. So now if you decide that that is your right and your duty, then there's your red flag there. So for those that believe in individuals that have gone through these things, or we even looking like they were about to go through these things, it was now them being guilty of the same sin by even encouraging, sticking with, not speaking out against, and allowing it. And so there's the responsibility to the believer that when you have faith in something and the trauma hits you and you've been confused and controlled, it is your duty to get out of that situation. It is your duty to make sure that what you're doing is righteous, because we can definitely be a scapegoat to others and their beliefs and our families and our lives. And, you know, you have young children who they are so impressionable. They'll follow what you say. And so adults, we have such a responsibility. And again, it's really black and white, because if you don't take that serious, well, then we know the outcome. And in some of these situations in these particular programs have shown you the outcome, that they're not of Yah or of the Most High or of their said God that's supposed to make them happy and be trauma free, but they're actually of another spirit, which was a selfish, greed, power, envy, all of those things that kill the flesh and kill the spirit, might I add. And it's very hard to deprogram someone from that, you know, because it is, it's not just so easy. Me being in my walk, I've had a lot of situations that could have taken me to that same place. But because I am such a person where I want my own connection with my higher power, I refuse to put man as a pedestal, as a idol. So that way I can just make sure that if I mess up, it's on me. And if I'm good, it's on me and the Most High. But if I mess up, it's on me. It wasn't on that said individual. He didn't tell me to shoot the gun. He didn't tell me to drink the juice. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't do that. And I think we got to start being more responsible for our own beliefs and stop following people. I think that's really ultimately what it boils down to.
Thank you for sharing that and for sharing your thoughts on that. And let's move into our own traumas through our journeys, because let's be honest, when you believe in something in religious faith and you have this awakening, you know, or you're on your spiritual journey, you know, you're going to go through ups and downs. It's not just a straight and narrow shot. It's not always going to be easy peasy. It's not going to always be happy. You're going to hit points in your life that it will really hit you, and it will make you question or think, like, is this right for me? I've had it, I've done it, and I'm not ashamed of that because it has proven to where I am now. But it's one of those things that life hits me hard now, and I'm still always have to be like, okay, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this hardship? Or why is this obstacle so big? I don't know what to do. And in this point in time, you really have to think and reflect. And every hardship is a lesson, you know? And it's like sometimes you see the lesson right away, and sometimes it's years later or even months later, like you don't know it. Even maybe you never learned that lesson, but you move on with your life. And let's just talk about a little bit about your experiences of going through those obstacles and hardships.
Absolutely. Well, I want to say, you know, number one, you know, I am a firm believer in the Most High. I'm a firm believer in the in Yeshua, the Son, and in Christ, for those that understand him as being Christ. And so with that being said, I am a believer in the Bible. Now, the Bible has its many faces, right? Because, you know, a lot of people will say, well, it's being used to manipulate us or control us, right? And I hear that it has been used to manipulate and control. It actually has. But the words on the paper, the words in the books, it still doesn't change. It's your misunderstanding of it. So I've come to that understanding that when I go back to the most original with antiquity, I can see the simplicity of the word. And then I just start to accept things that I just really didn't know. And so it says the Father is not the author of confusion. Number two, love is peace. Love is joy. Love is humility. Love is honor. Love is respect. So anything that I'm dealing with this word should reflect that energy when I'm dealing with it. So that means that the trauma should not be there. Now the trauma may come in a form of me being disobedient, me realizing that I was wrong, me realizing that the things that I've been doing has actually been detrimental to my own self, right? That may be someone's conviction in drugs, sex, whether it be adultery, whether it be in, you know, like I said, religious practices, politics, money, things like that, greed. So those are all things that I run up against the word to see if what I'm doing is lining up with my belief system. But when I do find those holes, those inconsistencies, those discrepancies within myself, then even though it might not feel good, right? And it might cause me the trauma and it might shake my alleged faith, because my faith originally was not of the righteousness that I'm, you know, speaking on. So now I have to look at myself. I can't even go to a said leader or someone and blame them for anything. I have to go and look at myself. And so I think that my walk has been more so these evaluations, where these are tough messages, but they are needed to be. And a lot of people are going to run away from them. So there's a difference between a tough message, some tough love, a conviction, versus demonic worship and agenda, greed, power, control to put people in a situation that is not likely for them or for their, you know, just giving them traumatic experiences. So for me, I try my best to be very, very honest that I don't blame anything on unjustly. So let me clean up my act first based on my beliefs. From there, okay, now from there, if I have a healthy understanding, I'm having a healthy dose of, you know, hey, I got to get it together. This is what I see. This is what the Most High has convicted me to do, which is what I deal with on a continuous basis. You know, I look at the word and what does it say about how women should be, you know, our demeanor, our character. And so I can only, you know, that's enough for me to last almost a lifetime. That's a lot of work, you know, especially we've been taught incorrectly, you know, according to what we believe in. So now I believe that, you know, I should be virtuous. I believe I should be more humble, more submissive. I believe that I should make sense of it. But then now someone else's version of that, right, could be very well their version, where she decided her submission was being a multiple wife. My submission wasn't, that wasn't my message. But I'm not going to knock said person for that, because if it doesn't bring them trauma, if it is something that is making peace within them, and if their belief system is taking them to the better place with their God, then who am I to judge that? It is only when the trauma and the pain and the confusion comes in that I have to be aware that maybe everything is not for everybody. So I do understand that everything is not for everybody. At the same time, I'm still a growing work in progress. What I know today, maybe 3 or 4 years from now, I might say something a little bit different. So we also have to allow ourselves to be spiritually mature. We have to grow in our beliefs. And so I believe that I've been doing that. I do, however, come across some troubling scenarios and agendas, in which I do call out, you know, me, Kiara, you know, we do My Sister's Keeper Radio, you know, I'm all about bringing it out. And, you know, the biggest thing that I would say overall is that I think we need to be more personal with our faith. And I think we need to be more respectful that our beliefs are not everyone else's, and that we're not at the same place at the same time. I respect the word. I respect what it says. I don't understand it all. And I shouldn't be persecuted for not understanding, not being able to participate in that. I'm not saying that I'm talking against it, but I don't have enough knowledge, wisdom, or understanding to be an advocate or to say it is a part of my walk at this time in my life. So I'm actually being honest, saying I don't know better. And I prefer not to act and pretend or to allow something or someone to put me in a hot situation where I got to make a decision to do it or not. You know, if I don't know how to do this job, why would I take the job? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that role yet. I'm not qualified. And I think if we can start being more honest, even as priests, as teachers, as faith-based leaders, that we're not qualified to tell the masses where they are in their every bend in the road, but to be honest that their salvation is their own, that you have to learn on your own. I'm going to teach you some words. I'm going to teach you some concepts. I'm going to give you some perspectives, but you ultimately are taking this journey, this spiritual faith-based journey on your own, and let it be your own, so that when it blows up in your face, it's your own. And when it does you well, when you're blessed with it, you also can say, I knew I did this. Nobody convinced me, but I'm convinced myself. And I think that's where I'm at in my walk, is that I like to convince myself with the Most High, that He convinces me that I know it's true, so that I won't be having any sort of strife against man. Because guess what? As soon as man mess up, then we're going to blame. Because what we do, we blame the preacher. We blame the teacher when things go wrong in our lives. You know, and that's because we didn't read. How can you trust another man? It says, who knows another man's heart? It is exceedingly wicked. So how can you, even if he looks good, he's telling you things, that doesn't mean he has the best understanding. So that's kind of where I'm at with my walk. And it's a safe zone for me. I take full responsibility for what I put inside this mouth of mine and this brain. How about you, Kiara?
I absolutely agree. I think I have transformed on my journey. Growing up, I was just asking why and always wanting to know more, or like, why are we doing things a certain way when it comes to traditions in the church? And then when I had this new turnover leaf, and it was a 1 year of me turning over that new leaf of going through a traumatic event and really looking at myself like, oh my gosh, I don't even know who I am. I don't know what I believe or what I see. And it took a whole year for that transformation to happen, for me to be comfortable and to be able to walk in my own truth when it comes to this journey. So when people ask me, oh, do you go to church? It's like, I did go to church, but now I'm walking on this faith alone. I listen to music. I pray differently. I do things my way. And I think when you are exploring your religious faith or exploring your spirituality, it is up to that person to decide what they want. Are you more of a church person going into their congregation and listening to the preacher's word, which is fine? Or are you more of a person that enjoys their solitude, enjoys being their own leader and being their own guy and not relying on the church to get the word, or like not relying on the church teachings to get the word. And I think that's up for people to decide. And when it comes with the trauma through faith, I simply believe that it's going to be traumatic because you're going through a time period. And trauma through faith can happen in your workplace. It can happen at your school. It can happen literally anytime, any moment. And it's going to hit you, and you're going to face this conflict. And it may not even be you facing your own internal conflict. It's going to be you probably facing most likely external conflict. Maybe this person is making you feel uncomfortable, or maybe this person is going against your morals and beliefs, and now you're being tested. And now you may not have responded in the right way that you should have in this tested moment. And now you're confused, and it's traumatizing you, and it's stressing you out, and it's building this anxiety in you. And then after the traumatizing event is over, you have this time to reflect. And I think when it comes to reflecting that bit of it, you get a better understanding of yourself, what you can improve on. Because I just went through this myself. I had to realize my self-worth again. I put myself in a situation where I was not valued. And I had to re-go through that process of like, what is my worth? No one can tell me that. And now I'm like, this is my asking price. This is what I am. This is who I am.
Come on. And that's right.
When you go through that phase, like I completely took a step of faith blindly. And, you know, I'm like, I don't have a plan after this. And I got myself out of the situation. And now it's like, I'm not becoming sick. I'm not becoming physically tired anymore. I'm not drained because of me removing myself out of this situation. And, you know, going back to my morals and my beliefs and being comfortable in my zone. So life is going to always throw you curveballs. But the important thing is that you find your way. And it's not going to be always sunflowers. It's not going to always be like, I'm so happy right now. Because when you're on this path of faith and this belief, you are alone because it's yours. And when you're alone, sometimes people can't handle being alone. So they look for other ways to find sources in their journey. But in some parts of your journey, you will be alone because you have to reflect on the truth of you. Like you have to reflect on what you do and do not like of you. And I think that's where a lot of people fall or like turn away, or they disagree because it's like they're always looking elsewhere or looking for someone to blame. But it's like, you have to blame you and take that power back. Because once you admit to yourself that, okay, I messed up, I screwed up big time, then that's when you can start to heal and to be empowered again and to go through anything. And then you become stronger. And when the next challenge comes, you blindly walk by faith and not by sight. It's just that, because I'm doing it right now. And because I'm not having that anxiety and stress like I was before I put myself in the same position, I'm like, you know what? It's going to work out because my belief system is so strong. And because I keep reiterating that this is going to happen for me on this time, on this day, or I'm going to get a better chance at a better company, at a better life, at a better home improvement, all of that, it's because I keep saying, like, this is the day that my life will turn a new leaf again. And you're always turning. You're always cooking. You're always like, you know, you're never stopped. And I think when people think of spiritual journeys, it's like, what people believe is like, it stops. You never stop because you're always going to be faced with conflict. You're always going to be put in situations of tests to see if your test is going to be see your faith is going to be wavered and your belief is going to be wavered. So when you go through these traumatic times, you genuinely have to think about yourself. You have to genuinely think about where you can go and not rely on anything. And with trauma through faith, it's not saying that faith isn't traumatic, because it is, because there are certain degree levels of what you are brought in the world to testify or to share. But also at the same time, solely the responsibility is not on the preachers, not on the priests, it's not on the church, it's not on the congregation, it's on that individual, whether they want to take that responsibility, that is up to their discretion, or if they want to practice it in a certain way, that is up to their discretion. But it's not to say that you cannot explore it. Like, please explore your faith. Please explore the opportunities that is out there, because there are some religions and some beliefs that are good. You know, the soul bases are good. And don't get caught up in what social media is saying. Don't get caught up in these documentaries that are producing the bad side of it. Like, you are being made aware so you can move and walk more carefully.
That's right. You know, here's another thing I tell folks, and my walk is simple, it's plain. Do your research. We like to rely on information. Don't get me wrong. I rely on information, right? Because I do have to go out and do my research, and I have to gather, but I have to study it, I have to compare it. I have to really dig in deep. I can't just take things for face value. I go watch a YouTube, they say, hate this nation or don't do this. And then I'm just going along with it. I didn't do my research. I didn't try to figure out if that was for me or not. Here's another thing. Stop comparing and idolatry. We're trying to compare ourselves to others. We're trying to exemplify what we think blessings and a success is, in because there's no way on earth nobody's following a faith without the hopes of it making them a better person. I mean, except for some, I guess I say that loosely, except for some atheists. I don't know. Maybe they feel they want to be cut harder and that makes them feel worse, and that's what's good for them. I don't know. But the reality is, most people are studying or they're practicing a certain faith for happiness, for peace, for a journey, for some fulfillment in their lives, a purpose, right? So now here we are in crunch time, because again, our history have been stolen from us. And that's a whole nother conversation, because a lot of the word and things that we've been implemented in this world, I mean, just goes for any religion. I think we've been kind of duped a little bit with politics and capitalism. And like you said, with social media, and the way that we portray what success and what spirituality looks like. You know, we'll see the man, you know, with multiple wives and everybody looking so peaceful. And, you know, they're on Instagram and they're showing it, kissing each other. And they all have on these nice clothes and they look nice. And he's taking care of both of them. And he's the king. And, you know, he's a handsome looking brother, whatever. And then we say, well, you know, I want that. You know, does that mean that if I do this, I'm going to get that? You cannot be that naive. But then you look at history, you look at the facts of life, and you realize that women fight over their men. No woman wants to share, not a Western woman anyway, wants to share a husband. But even if you go back to history in the Eastern culture, you know, it was strife, it was contention, it was things that happened. You know, King David, he took all of his father's wives, and then King David had a bunch of wives. I don't remember if he took his father's wives, but I do know his son slept with all of his wives on the rooftop in front of the village. That must have been hurtful. You didn't see that coming, you know, because you thought it was going to bring you bliss and bring you joy. And might I add, this was one of the Most High's most beloved saints to this day. He is one of his most beloved. So we have to understand that even in our alleged perfection, even in us doing right, that we can do wrong, that we can be wrong. Even the most perfect, you know, the apple of his eye, we can be wrong. And we have to really start to evaluate ourselves. I think that if we just stop looking outward to every single thing, you know, and just start to really find a set of you know what's for our own selves, and find your own set of rules that's going to prevent you from allowing anything that is confusion to keep you from understanding the doctrine that you're studying. Because again, I'm studying the word, but I can't say someone's not studying the Quran or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's looking to better you. It's looking to empower you. I'm pretty sure you're looking to empower yourself to be better. So just let the words resonate, meditate, relax. Don't try to make it all be what, you know, you can't follow what you see other people doing. Other people have these forces behind them. I'll say 90% of the social media and the powers that are behind them have an agenda. because it's actually on the networks that they control. I can't imagine anything being for good in a network that's meant for bad. I just don't see where it's going to help the people. We are being programmed to be docile. We're being programmed to be followers. We're being programmed to not know our history. We're being programmed to be political. We're being programmed to be a lot of things, but independent thinkers. Isn't that weird? We're being programmed to do everything, but just study the word for ourselves and be independent thinkers. And so if that's pretty strange to me, I would look into that and figure out how I can coexist with this sort of a culture, because I know I can't get around it. It's my everyday thing. When I get up, you and me both, we're literally using the tools, but we're doing it for the better of good, right? And so then that's what you want to do. You want to find yourself on that side where you're doing the better of good with the tools, because if you must play in the reindeer games, you might as well play fair and do it the right way, and then do it boldly and be strong, and you be a leader. If you see other people that are being led astray, or things don't make sense, or maybe you're too shy, or maybe you're just not that type of person that could just, like, you know, confront somebody that might be manipulating someone else, first pray about it. You know, go to your faith closet, because everybody does it differently, but have the courage. Have the courage, because that's all that you have. All you have is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of things. And the knowledge is coming from studying. And the understanding is saying that obviously I've been through this and I see this is not going to go well. But the wisdom is saying that I don't want to be like everybody else. I do want the truth to prevail. And so I don't want to get caught up in some weird, you know, cult. I don't want to get caught up in some weird belief system that's oppressive to people. And again, we are caught up in that system. I do want to point that out. We are very much weaved into the system because it was before we were even born. So you and I being just two vessels, but then the world just being also a witness to this. It is a very wonderful time in life that we're able to start to open up these conversations and start to have the knowledge and the information come out because of more social media, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. It gives us more information about the world that we're not privy to because we're in one side of the planet, but then it also can, you know, deteriorate the message, but, you know, false tactics. So we just have to just pray. And then guess what? At the end of the day, Kiari, guess what? Surrender, because we don't know it all and we ain't going to figure it all out today. But we have to surrender and give that faith, that same faith-based system, a chance to speak to us over the powers that be. Those are just some of the best ways to fight that trauma that we get when we have this faith. Because guess what? I'm going to always be faithful in the faithful of God. I'm always going to think people are going to do right by me and do well. Do they do it? No. But I'm always going to feel that way, because for the one time I don't, that person was genuine. And so it's important for me to keep myself mentally clear that I can recognize the difference. And then maybe even if I don't figure it all out in one day, I can be honest and say I'm not qualified.
I absolutely agree. And right before we just close out this conversation, because this is obviously a deep conversation, and yes, this is a message for everyone out there to just do what's right for you. This is a topic, and you're always going to have events in your life that's going to challenge your belief system, whether you believe in a high power or not. And when you go through that, you're always going to be turning a new leaf, like I mentioned earlier, and you're always going to be looking at life in a new perspective. And as long as you grow within yourself, it does not matter what you practice, what you do, what you believe in, as long as you're firm in it. And don't follow anyone else. Don't allow anyone else to lead you astray. Just listen and see if it's right for you. And so is there anything else you would like to add, Terry, before we close out?
Yes, you know, greed can get in the way. We fall into danger of negatively affecting our relationship with the Most High when we decide to get into greed. We need to respect and understand the things that we are following. We need to make sure that it's not against the Most High, that it makes sense, and that there was some sort of a old witness and new witness that shows the validity of said practice. we need to wait and be patient because we're not going to get the whole entire understanding in one sitting. And we need to be also responsible for our own belief systems, whether it be good or bad. But when the consequences are there, the consequences are ours and ours alone. It's not because of another person that drug me into something. And then later I decided, oh, I didn't believe that. Or, oh, that's not what I thought this was going to be. Well, you still are accountable because you still are responsible for your actions as an adult, according to the system. But the Most High does know. The wonderful thing about it is that we're not bound by man's law. We might go to jail for some things. We might, you know, get in trouble for some things, for our ignorance, but the Most High is merciful. He is graceful. And so he understands your ignorance, your miseducation, your confusion. He understands. But if you would just confess to him that you would be redeemed, and if you would repent from those behaviors and sin no more, that you will be redeemed. It might not be overnight. It might be for the rest of your life. It might be, you might be 90 years old and one day you just got it. Guess what? That's between you and the Father. Be grateful for that moment. That moment wasn't shared with nobody you wanted to share with. You was doing the glitz and glamour on Vegas, honey. You was the Vegas queen, you know, the whole life. You wanted everybody to see how beautiful you were, but you wouldn't be able to be seen beautiful until you was 99. And that's okay, because that's what we want. We want to be patient with our redemption for our said beliefs. And we got to stop being so naive to the world. We need to be more cognizant of, you know, the information that's being given to us and how it has been being used. Because, again, we can just click on the internet and go back to history and see that a lot of implications have been negative. A lot of things have not resulted in societies being good to their people and citizens being this alleged blessing, you know, even with tithing and all these things. I mean, it's just so much that we're miseducated on. But if we don't find the strength and the time to think for ourselves, we're going to constantly allow other people to think for us, and we are going to stay under trauma, and we're going to stay under spiritual jail, you know, and our faith is not true to what it is we thought we was faithful in. Because if I was faithful in this and then this wound up being that, I might be following the wrong God, if that makes sense to you. So, yeah, that's all I have for it. You know, I pray that most people will, you know, understand that your spirituality is your own. It's not owned by another man. It's not owned by a doctrine. It is absolutely your own. Be confident in learning what you say you think you know. And then forgive yourself when you're being duped, but try your best to be courageous enough to step away from those things that will cause you that trauma, because trauma is not something that will help to perpetuate a healthy spiritual lifestyle at all, period. So that's all I got, Kiari. That's all I got, baby girl.
Thank you so much for being a part of Spirit Bound. I truly enjoyed our conversation, and yes, it has been enlightening, and I hope all the listeners out there have been enlightened as well. And to know that trauma through faith is not supposed to be a bad thing, but sometimes the world that we live in makes it a bad thing. Thank you so much for your time again. And now I'm going to stop recording the conversation.
Thank you.
Tafari Yashara, thank you for giving us your knowledge and sharing your experience about your faithful journey. I truly believe in taking ownership of your faith, religious practice, and or spirituality, because only you should be in control of your beliefs and not led by manipulation. In next week's episode, we are going to learn spirituality from a person who was Catholic, but forged her own spiritual path. I cannot wait for you to meet Amanda Blair. To stay updated with the latest Spirit Bound episode that will be released next Thursday, or to learn more, please follow Spirit Bound Podcast on Instagram and Spirit Bound Podcast on Facebook. Spirit Bound is produced and presented by Kiari Page, supported by Transmission Roundhouse, with special thanks to TR leaders Tom and Marnie, and to all my supporters near and far.